tabernacle of truth. Because Jesus is truth. Jesus is true. The Bible says, boast not yourself of tomorrow, for you knoweth not what a day may bring it forth. That's Bible, isn't it? And thank you for coming today. Your presence is needed and appreciated, to say the least. Because Jesus loves you, and so do we. And ain't nothing you can do about it. In other words, you stuck with us until you go with the Lord. And we appreciate our brother Aaron and family today. And we trust that you sense the love of Christ, brother, and family. Again, after the benediction this morning, I need to see, I think we have two deacons today, and our dear brother Holly, 5 minutes. We're not going to hold you. And the mothers, our mom and stepmother, they're hanging in there. That's all I can tell you. They're feeble. They're going down. They're just continue to pray. And when God sees fit, he's going to take them home. And I've never been nothing through like this before, but it's challenging sometimes to see them wither away like that. But God's grace is sufficient, right? And he's still on the throne. It happened to some of you folks, and it's happening. It's my season now, so pray for me. So I want you to turn with me in this Paul's letter in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses only 3 through 7. And this is from the Apostle Paul's pen and everything. And thank Brother and Sister Holly for the renditions of their music and using their spiritual gifts for the glory of God. So we challenge you that you will use your spiritual gifts for the glory of God. So 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 through 7 follows. Happy or blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. Amen. Who comfort us in all tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer, or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall you also be the consolation. King James Version. May the Lord would add a rich blessing to the reading of his eternal word. And God's people said, amen. Amen. So the subject this morning, briefly, friends, a church of comfort. A church of comfort. Our God is a God of all comfort. And that's what I want to expound this morning. He's the God of all comfort. You know, in Acts chapter 2 demonstrates a sense of unprecedented community that the church ethically and any nationality it crosses. The church is right on time. Paul shared his teachings and his fellowship and ate meals together with other Christians in the formation of a church, and many things happen. The empowerment of the Holy Spirit mushroom and evangelize and turn the world upside down, because the term ecclesia ones, the called up ones, this is how explosive the church can meet a world. This is what God calls us to do, be of one. And just in case you have forgotten the meaning of this well-needed aid in our Christian life circles, the word comfort, according to Webster's dictionary, number one, it means to strengthen greatly. Comfort does. To strengthen greatly. Number two, it is the idea to give strength and hope. So we as a church should be giving strength and hope to the community and to ourselves. And it means to cheer, to ease the grief of trouble. In other words, console or console. And you know, I believe one of the dynamics of a thriving church is a place where people can feel comfort, especially from a hostile world. We should be the salt of the earth, the scripture teaches. And our churches should be a shelter in times of a storm. This is what we should be doing, comfort. We have, as believers, have received comfort not only for ourselves' sake, but we are to take to those, especially to the household of faith. And this word comfort appears some 29 times in the New Testament alone. And it is cited 8 times in our narrative this morning that we just read. And comfort is in scripture encompasses the idea of consolation and is translated into encouragement. And God does not comfort us to make us comfortable, but to make us comforters, you see. And you know, with God's blessings and our support, yesterday we had a handful of believers from this assembly. Just yesterday, we attempted to console and to comfort our beloved brother Ron Holly and family in his great loss of his daughter, Emily. And this is the least that we could do. Comfort and reaching out to people that we know and don't know. According to Lewis Niger, words of comfort means skillfully administered are the oldest therapy known to man. Pretty good. They are like apples of gold and pitchers of silver when we comfort somebody. You know, our Lord, out of his compassion, pours out his consolation or comfort for his people. He's not only the dispenser of comfort, but the source of all comfort, according to our scripture verses 3 and 4 we read. And these verses are saying when you and I are suffering for the cause of Christ through adversities, difficulties, and tribulations, listen, we are to reach out and demonstrate our experiences, beloved, to help others. In their time of troubles. Somebody said we either going into trouble, we in trouble, or coming out of trouble. And we are to reach out and touch somebody in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Are we doing that? Thank you, brother. God is our refuge and strength, friends, a very present help in trouble, the psalmist says. Did you know one reason the book of Hebrews was written? The mystery writer. Now, don't come telling me that Paul wrote the book of Hebrews. We don't know. God bless Dr. Hill. The late Brother Hill, he insisted that the book of Hebrews was written by Paul. We don't know that. But the mystery writer in this narrative shares a great need for those Jewish believers that were in persecution and going through hardships and was in danger of drifting from the faith. Not only did they need comfort, but they needed confidence. In Hebrews 10:19, it says, therefore, brother and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is his body. And since we have a great high priest, church, you have a great high priest now. Over the house of God. That's beautiful. The curtain pictures Christ's body. When Jesus died, the curtain that is his body was torn into pieces to open the way into the divine presence. And we have that luxury as the bride of Christ. The writer goes on to say in verse 25, let us not give up meeting together. Now, other in terminology, skipping church, okay? So, don't come to church if you got COVID-19 or sick or you're coughing. But don't make us excuses, but we thought Sister Brenda wasn't. I'm putting her on the spot. I'm picking on her today. We thought Sister Brenda wasn't coming to church today, but she can't stay away from this church. So she don't have a problem with this. But let us encourage one together. And all the more as we see the day approaching. Amen. And this is an implication and application for us today. You know, history shows the Jewish temple was to be God's presence for his people. A center of religious life, a corporate worship, sacrifices were made at the temple, festivals and prayer took place, and this temple was only to be a shadow to come. But since God's Son has come, and through his blood, all believers, regardless of gender or nationality, we can come into the presence of Almighty God. That is comfort. That's a privilege. That's consolation. That's encouragement. Because Christ, there is no barrier that is applied. We can boldly come to the throne of grace, all of us. We don't have to go through the channels through some priest. And furthermore, someone questioned, why do we go to church? You ever thought about that? They said, we go to church for other people. Because someone may need you there. That's why Brenda's here today. I'm picking on her. Someone may need you there, according to this article. That's a good answer. That answer resonates the writer of Hebrews. We're to persevere in the faith, not giving up meeting together. Do you really understand that? What the narrative is talking about, these Christians? Why? Because someone could be missing or absent. That's why we go to church. Encouraging and comforting one another. We need mutual encouragement to spur up one another towards love and good deeds. So the top reason why people go to church is because someone may need you there, end of quote. One consoling comfort and unique feature the Apostle Paul shared in a metaphor through terminology with the human body to show the great need for each other as with the body of Christ. And that's found in backing up to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It says here, let me see, I lost my thought here. Verse 12, for as the body is one and have many members, as all members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we all have been baptized into the body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and we've been all made to drink into one Spirit. Hallelujah. For the body is not one member, but many. So God have put the body together, hasn't he? Giving greater honor to the parts that lack it, so that there should be no division in the body. That its parts should have equal concern for each other. For verse 24, for our comely parts have no need, but God have tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacketh. Verse 25, and there should be no schism in the body, but that which the members should have the same care for one another. For one another. Whether feeble or old or strong, we're to help one another. I don't care how frail ones get, or how strong you may feel today, we're to help one another. We're to equip one another. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. Every autonomy of the body have different functions and are vital. In Paul's day, there were two groups of people that were unaccustomed to one another. It was slavery, being in slavery and free, and the Jews and the Gentiles. Now, how could this diversity body be in unison or in unity? How could it be possible? As in Paul's day, in our day, it is the working ministry of the Holy Spirit that unites us into one purpose, friends. Now, I know this concept is foreign to the world. How can we get along? We get along because we've been grafted into the family of God, have been baptized by one spirit and into one body. That's how we get along. And plus, we've been given the spirit to drink of his body. It does not matter how great or small each member. It's important, for God has put us together as many members. That's how the body of Christ should function. And I hope that comfort you as you labor and suffer for the cause of Christ. We should be jumping. We should be running over trying to help our brother and sister that's in trouble, going through various sufferings and tribulation. We must always remember Jesus is not only our comfort, but our peace. It was the fact that God has chosen his people, his chosen people, the Jews, that was distinct from other nations, which that's Bible. They enjoyed certain privileges, didn't they? Gentiles were of course allowed to worship in the Jerusalem temple, but a dividing wall. Listen, a dividing wall was restricted for the Gentiles at the outer court, which was consequently, it meant death and great punishment, passing that partition, that great wall. And plus, the Jews regarded the Gentiles as unclean. This experience was mutual on both sides of great hostilities. But Paul's letter to the Ephesians shows us what Christ did for all of us to eliminate this conflict, especially in church. He shows us what Jesus' death done for us as he set aside the law and made one people by giving them both the same access to the Father. We have in common that supersedes our differences. We, the bride of Christ, can say with Paul in Ephesians chapter 2, Ephesians chapter 2, just take a listen. Listen, but now in Christ Jesus, you sometimes were far off, made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who have made both one and have broken down the middle wall of partition between us. So, but now in Christ, you were far away, having been brought near by the blood of Christ, the scripture tells us. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barriers, the dividing wall of partition. We shouldn't have no division among the church if we follow the mandate and the scriptures closely. We must always remember we are family. We, listen, if you didn't get nothing out of this message, we are family. We stick together. God considered Adam. He said, it is not good for man to be alone. Now, that's the realm of course, you know, husband and wife. But it carries on some gray area that we need one another. But the Bible also tells us we need connection with one another. Jesus told John to consider Christ's mother as his own after his death, didn't he? Connection. Paul told the believers to treat other parents and siblings like family, according to 1 Timothy 5:12. I won't have time to share that. I believe the Lord has designed the church as one of the best antidotes, and the Bible says, help the lonely in families. That's the function of the church, a good, healthy church. He has made us for relationships, not fighting and tearing down one another. And given us his people to be our family for comfort and consolement. In closing, it was the sweetest hymnist, Lida Bernberg, served with her father in an evangelistic ministry at one time. As they were traveling by ship, the article says, he accidentally fell overboard and drowned. In need of comfort that only God could supply, she wrote the following words that are still sung by Christians around the world. Day by day, with all each passing moment, strength I find to meet my trials here. Trusting in my Father's wise bestowment, I've no cause for worry or for fear. Eternal Father, we thank you, Lord, for the supernatural luxuries and benefits we have to comfort one another, to console one another, and to encourage one another, because we're family, because we're one faith, one Lord, and one baptism, and washed in the Lamb's, the blood of the Lamb. We would pray, Lord, that we will magnify and mimic you, how you reached out to a hostile and unbelieving world, but supernaturally, we can say you have conquered the world, and the peace that gives all through all of this understanding that you give us, Father. We pray, Lord, that your will be done, and thank you, Lord, for this message. In Jesus' name, amen. Brother Holly, close us in the word.